Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Sunday night. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Men broadcast. And you know what? I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me the opportunity once again to share the very Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Men broadcast. Now, the phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests and comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast, and I will do the best I can in the Lord to answer any question that you have. Amen. Praise be to God. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN, at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives them to us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So before we go any further, let us pray. And I just say to wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us petition the Lord together once again for his spirit to be with us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for another day that you have blessed us to see. And so therefore, Lord, we humble ourselves this day before you, knowing that you are the all-wise one, that there's none wiser than you, none greater and have more power than you have. And no one can reveal truth to us like you can. So, Lord, we petition you once again that your spirit will be with us as we take this journey once again into your word. And, Father, my personal prayer unto you is that, Father, that you will word my mouth to bring glory and honor to your name as I present unto the people what you have told me to present unto them. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I just thank you, Lord, for this day that you made and created and this golden opportunity, Lord, that you have given to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, and Father, I thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you. Once again, it's another blessed day in the Lord. And I am grateful, truly grateful to the Lord for this day. Before yesterday, I missed a couple broadcasts. Satan tried to do his little hindering. But thank God that Jesus is Lord. He has enabled me to be back on the broadcast. I came on yesterday to open up, as some of you may have heard, with Brother Lee and the sisters. And I am grateful today to be able to come before you with the Word of God on this blessed Sunday. What we're going to go into today is where I last left off with you in what is called the first message. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has sent through the Elijah that he mentioned in Matthew 17, in Malachi chapter 4, in Acts chapter 3, the Elijah that he promised to send to restore all things. Jesus has been sending his word through his angel messenger since the date of February the 4th, 1927. February the 4th, 1927, all the way to thus far, April the 22nd, 1994. And I said thus far because that is not the end of it. He had been sending his message to two brothers. Both of them have passed. Brother Fetting was the first one that Jesus sent the Elijah 30 times to him with 30 messages. And the last 90 times he sent messages to another brother named Brother W.A. Draves. And I've been going into the first message with you and giving unto you what the Lord has said. And this word is for God's people, they that will be of the bride. This word is go to mankind. So if you will be of the bride of the Lord, this word is for you. Amen. And God is bringing his people back together for the church that he's coming back for, a unified people in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God. Amen. Now, the last thing I believe that I left off from this first message that Jesus said through the angel messenger is that how that he would not hold us responsible for the mistakes of others, but require us to be true to our calling and tell the truth. Amen. Whatever the Lord has called you, I'm talking about true calling. We ain't talking about no fake, no makeup stuff. People talk about, I feel like. No, we ain't talking about I feel like. We talking about getting a witness in your spirit, backed up in the mouth of two or three witnesses that you are called to this particular area. If it's the true call of God, God requires you to be true to your calling and tell the truth. Some people have neglected their calling. They're not doing anything in what God has called them to do. And once again, you're going to be held accountable for that, and God wants you to show you. Because we have taken the Lord Jesus for granted, because study talk about how he's a loving and long-suffering God, and all that is true. By every merit, it is true. But however, he's not a dumb God. And sometimes people try to take advantage of your kindness or your tenderness, just like some think they're taking advantage of God through that. But God lets you know you're going to be held accountable for what he has called you to do. And if you have neglected your calling, you're going to be held accountable for it. Amen. But also tell the truth. As Christians, we are required from the Lord to tell the truth. Now, once again, it is sad today that some of us have, as professing believers, have turned to the arena of lying. Whether we're lying on income taxes, you know, well, let's be honest about it. Or we're lying in different areas. We have turned to lying and thinking it's okay with God, but it's not. Amen. Now, we're going to continue on in this first message. And another thing that the Lord said in this first message, he said, I will hold others responsible for their work in their day. Did you hear that? Or must I read it again? Well, okay, no problem. I will read it again. He said, I will hold others responsible for their work in their day. See, nobody's getting off scot-free for being held accountable to their work. I don't care what day and time that you was in. Now, some people, I don't know, maybe have gotten the notion to think that, well, God is wrong. He's holding me accountable. But what about the mothers in back at their time who said who didn't do that? Well, God is holding them accountable too. He's going to hold them accountable too for their work. Okay? For their work. So you're going to be held accountable for your work. God personally, God is going to deal with you on your work. Hallelujah. So no one is going to escape this. Amen. Everybody will be held accountable. Now, you may look at some other people and they ain't doing nothing, and you're thinking that they're getting off scot-free. No, they're not. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There were many times I had that mentality, and many times I got upset with God. I would see, quote, certain believers or professing believers not doing nothing in the Lord. And here I am, you know, trying to do what I can and sometimes not getting too much help or any help. And I'm looking at, Lord, these others just sitting around, not doing a thing. But the Lord let me know he's going to hold them responsible for their work. Now, they might think in their mind that they're getting away with it because, well, to them, well, ain't nothing bad happened to me. I guess it's okay. That's their thinking. Doesn't mean their thinking is right. So God said, he will hold others responsible for their work in their day. Amen. Now, let's go to the Bible concerning this responsibility holder. Let's go to another witness. Let's go to Paul, first book of Corinthians, chapter 3. Let's go there. First book of Corinthians, chapter 3. So Jesus just sent his angel to witness to us that he's going to, that everybody's going to be held responsible for the work that they do. That's what he means when he said, I will hold others responsible for the work in their day. Everybody's going to be held responsible. If you're professing the name of Christ, you're going to be held responsible. That's why he said earlier in the same message, the blood of this generation is required at the hands of those that profess Jesus. So I don't care who you are. Now, you may be listening, And you know for a fact you haven't been doing nothing in the Lord. And you may be thinking to yourself, I'm getting away with it, but the Lord said, no, you're going to be held accountable. Amen. Now I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Okay, he hung up there. But anyhow, that was my brother, Brother John. Thank God for Brother John, who always gives us a word of encouragement. We thank God for him. Praise be to God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 13 to verse 15. Now, watch this. Listen to what Paul says. He said, every man's work. And let's stop there for a minute. Every man's work. So that doesn't care. He knocked out race, color, gender. Command here is not talking about just by male. It's male and female. So every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he have done, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Did you hear that? Every man is going to give an account or going to be held responsible for his work. And the testing, the fire, is going to come to see what sort it is. Amen. Some is just going to make it in, but much of their work that they done is going to be destroyed. Why? Because their work wasn't built there upon the foundation of the Lord. But they're going to make it in, hallelujah, saved by as by fire. That means they're going to just make it in. Now, that's no encouragement for you to go out there and do anything or everything, because every man's heart's not the same. Okay, amen. But what God is showing you here through the sending of his angel and through here Paul, that everybody's work has to come to accountability. Okay, amen. And the fire is going to come to try to see what kind of work it is. Is it the work of God or not? If it's the work of the Lord, it's going to stand. If it's the work of man or work of the devil, it's coming down. It's coming down. Okay. But rest assured, God wants you to know that you're going to be held accountable, and that he wants you to know that every man. So you could quit looking at member Joe, who you see each Sunday come and don't do a thing. And then you ask member Joe to do something, he come up with an excuse why not to do something. And now you're getting upset and thinking that God, he's getting away not doing nothing. No, he's not. He's not. I promise you, he's not. Hey, trust me. I had that same thinking like you had. I thought when I saw it, like I said, I would see people and they weren't doing nothing. I was getting upset. And once again, here I am trying to do struggles, seem like I had no help to little help. And I'm like, Lord, this don't make no sense. And so I'm thinking like some of you have been thinking. That here you are, you trying to do the best you can in the Lord. And just like you're struggling. And then needing some help, you can't hardly get help. But you see member Joe or member Susie, all they do is nothing. They may come to serve, but they don't do a thing. And then don't ask them to do nothing, because you're going to get every excuse in the world from them why they can't do it. Well, God wants you to know he's going to hold man responsible for their work in their day. So they're going to be held responsible. They're going to give accountability of their work. Done or undone. Amen. And Paul letting you know, he said, every man's work. No matter what time frame, no matter what day you was in, hallelujah, shall be made manifest. Glory. Aren't you glad we don't serve a biased God? I'm so glad. I'm glad God is not biased or prejudiced or discriminatory. I'm glad he's not that. We serve the true and just God. Amen. He's just, people. God, once again, God is not favoring no color, no race, no gender. He's about justice. He's just. And rest assured, hey, I want to speak word of encouragement to any of you that seem like you're having a hard time. You're trying to do your time in the Lord, trying to do the best you can. You got a little help or no help. May God strengthen you, for he will. And he's going to send you some help. Don't worry about it. He's going to send you some help. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, let's look at another witness to this. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at something Peter says here. Thank God for the mouth of two or three witnesses. 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, just listen to me in my spirit. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Now, watch. Peter's going to testify to the same thing as this. Amen. And see, every man's work is going to be tried. Every man going to be held responsible, going to be held accountable. Okay. His work is going to be tried, tested, you name it. To see what manner or what sort it was, or what sort it is. Amen. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 said, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respecter of persons judges according to every man's work," do you see that? "Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father." Now notice he said in verse 17. First he tell you God is no respecter of persons. That means there's no partiality with God. Just like I talked about. Okay. God ain't gonna hold you accountable for your work and let others slide by. That ain't happening. Because he will be an unjust God. He will be a respecter of persons. He will be a partial God. We don't serve that kind of God. We serve the true and living God who is honest, true, just. Straight down the middle, straight down, no curves, no ifs and buts about it. He is straight. Now, he says, who judges according to every man's work. Once again, it doesn't matter what time of the day you were in. He judged according to every man. Well, ain't nobody getting a free pass. Do you understand? That's why I say I'm going to hold others responsible for their work in their day. What is he letting you know? I hold everybody accountable for their work. Everyone. No skip to the loo, my darling. No getting away scot-free. None of that. Okay? Somebody needed to hear that word. Because once again, some of you, you know, some of you are trying to do what you can in the Lord, needing help, can't get any, and you're watching others just sit around not do everything being put on you. Well, I understand where you're coming from. Amen. Hallelujah. God's going to send you some help. Amen. And then there's some of you that's listening. You know you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in the Lord. You know you're not helping. You know, guess what? God said you're going to be held accountable. Don't let the devil fool you and tell you, so you know God is, he loves you so much, it doesn't matter. He got a whole bunch of people out there that can do the work. You ain't got to worry about doing the work. He got someone there. Well, you can let the devil sit up there and fool you into trouble if you want to, because that's exactly what he's doing. Amen? Exactly what he's doing. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All glory and honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, going back to the word of the Lord. Another thing that the Lord sends through his angel messenger to tell us, and I need you to hear this closely. Fear not what is presently in front of you. Fear not what is presently, present, in the present, right now, in front of you. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, this is what he said in the word of the Lord. He said, fear not. While things may look dark to you now, God will overrule and the future will be brighter. I think I better read it. As my brother Lee would say, I think I better go back and read that again. Amen. The Lord said through his angel message, he said, fear not. While things may look dark to you now, now present tense, God will overrule and the future will be brighter. Fear not what is presently in front of you or how it looks. And he said, those things may look dark to you now. Those things may look dark to you in the church now. Those things may look dark to you in your marriage now. Those things may look dark to you on your job now. He said, God will overrule and the future will be brighter. Now, it's interesting. What else is interesting to me is that when God said God will overrule, he didn't just say God will rule. He said God will overrule. Now, if you overrule, you got to overrule something that's already ruling. You understand what I'm saying? And so right now, it looks like Satan is ruling. Whether it's in your church, in your marriage, on your job, right now, he's doing his thing. And it looks dark to you now because, quote, says he's ruling. But God said God is going to overrule. I like that. I'm a that. God said he's going to overrule. He said, and the future will be brighter. Hallelujah. Now, if that ain't encouraging, and once again, Jesus doesn't speak in vain. He don't send his word in vain. He don't speak in vain. He speaks right on time. Somebody need to hear that. Somebody needed to hear that. Right now, it looks like presently what's happening, it looks dark. And I can understand where you come from. God understands. That's why he said it in this message. He said, fear not, though wild things may look dark to you now, present tense, God will overrule. Because we don't want to fall into a groove where it looks so bad, quote, to us, that we think God can't do nothing. You understand what I'm saying? See, that's when we get into show that was called Lost in Space. Remember that robot would say, danger, Will Robinson, danger. Well, that's when we get in danger. We get in danger that when we look at what's happening now, that we start to think that the circumstances is too strong for God to overrule it. And see, God said he will overrule, and the future will be bright. You understand it? To some of you, it's looking bleak in the church. You may be around some people that's very contentious and seem like all kinds of arguments and fights breaking out. And every time you get ready to try to do something for the Lord, something come up and it's looking dark now. But God said he will overrule and the future will be brighter. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at another witness on that. Let's look at something else on that. Let's go to Joshua. Chapter 1. Let's go in the Bible here. Joshua chapter 1. Let's see what God has said to Joshua. Thank you, Jesus. In Joshua chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we take up this part here where Moses have just died. Now, we know Moses was leading the children of Israel. And now, Joshua, it is falling on him. And you can imagine if you're Joshua and you was the one that God had used as your leader have died, now it's falling your way and you start going, uh-oh, you know. You know what, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Have God ever, you know, you was behind leadership and maybe the one that was in leadership may have passed on. And now it's falling on you, and now you're starting to, like, feel all the pressure comes your way. Because at first, you was, quote, behind somebody. Now you're in the forefront before God. You're not behind anybody. So now you're starting to feel, quote, the heat, the pressure started to come on you. And see, Joshua now has to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Because Moses couldn't do it because Moses messed up. Amen? And so in the book of Joshua chapter 1, God started talking to Joshua. And he said in verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Wow. In other words, thank Joshua. Who the one that gave you the command? He said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. In other words, fear not. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Okay? Did you hear that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, he was letting know, don't fear what's presently in front of you. What's presently in front of you, you see your leader Moses have died. And now all this is your way now. And you see that now you got to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. See, verse 10 says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Amen. Fear not what's presently before you. He told Joshua, don't be afraid. He said, have not I commanded thee? Amen. This command wasn't coming from Moses. Because, see, God let him know, see, Moses was limited. Sometimes, see, we got to remember, keep in mind, who is the one that commanded us? Not man, but God. Amen. And if God has commanded us to do something, he will make a way for us to accomplish it. If God has commanded us, if God told you even in the spirit, go in and possess the land, go in and possess the land. Don't fear what's in front of you. When God said you're going to come forth with a, let's say, for example, if God told you, said, you're going to come forth with a high-paying job, and the job you own looks like your hours got cut more, and it seems like they ain't even thinking about moving you up. Well, God is letting you know, don't fear what you're presently looking at. He said, though it look dark now, the future will be brighter. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank God for the word of God. So he told Joshua, he said, be strong and be of courage. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He even told me in verse 6, he said, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their father to give them. Even before they went in possessing, the Lord already told Joshua, you're going to divide this land. God is letting them know, say, hey, don't fear what's presently in front of you. And what was in front of Joshua is that now he has to go forth when Moses have died. Hallelujah. Now he's the forefront man now. God let him know, say, hey, don't fear. Fear not. Fear not even what you see. Now, many of y'all have read the story that when they send the spies in the land, Joshua and Caleb was the only two, you know, they gave a good report. Hey, we could take them. Okay. Other 10 brought back an evil report. My God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So fear not what is in front of thee. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Acts chapter 27. Let's go to Acts chapter 27. Amen. The book of Acts, chapter 27. Thank God for the word truth. Chapter 27, the book of Acts. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at verse 22, Acts chapter 27, verse 22. Listen to what Paul tells the men here. He said, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of this ship. Because they was in the midst of this storm that was going on. This big wind. And Paul said, be of good cheer. I urge you, he said, now no man's life is going to be lost, but the ship going to be lost. Look what he said in verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. You're talking about serve God, not an angel. Saying, look what he said. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and so God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Did you hear that? He said, fear not. That's why he said, verse 25, he said, wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Okay? So, even letting them know, and see, the angel of the Lord was sent to let them know, say, okay, don't fear what's presently before you, because he said, Paul, you gotta be brought before Caesar. So you're going to make it. No matter what you see presently before you, this storm, whatever happening, it doesn't matter. You're going to make it, okay? Hallelujah. There are some of you today, God has spoken a word to you that you're going to do something. You're going to go somewhere. You're going to do something for him, something like that. But right now, so much stuff is happening before you. It looks like, oh, my God, I just ain't going to make it. You're going to make it. God is saying, fear not what's presently is before you. It looks dark now. It looks dark. He said, but the future, he said, God will overrule it. I don't care what they're trying to do to hinder you from doing what God has called you to do. They cannot stop it. And God will have you praying for them, because if they keep standing in the way, they're going to be in trouble. Amen. Don't have to call no names out. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. God said it looks dark now, but he will overrule. And the future will be brighter. Can you take that word to heart? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God will overrule. He will. Do you believe? Do you believe? Or will the circumstances continue to tell you that? Ain't no way. Ain't no way in the world you're going to make it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, in Revelation chapter 13, and it's interesting, you know, God had his word written for us to on to warn us about the end time. And it's interesting in Revelation 13, remember, in the 13th chapter of Revelation, when God showed John Revelator these things and he wrote it down, and he talks about the end time, and he talks about how the Antichrist in the 13th chapter, it was going to be given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given over him to what? To rule what? 42 months? Okay. Amen. But then God lets you know later on in Revelation what's going to happen to the Antichrist, to the beast and the false prophet. Hallelujah. How Jesus is going to come and take hold of them. Well, you know what? This word in Revelation is telling us the same thing. And even warning you at the time when that come to pass, fear not what is presently before you. God is going to overrule. During this time, or during that time, could you imagine you'd be seeing the Antichrist like doing at will, whatever he wants to do, just ruling. The Bible said that he was going to even blaspheme God, and that power was going to be given unto him to continue 42 months. He's going to be doing what he, basically just about what he wants to do, ruling. But see, God, see, this is why we know, as many of the brothers said, we know what's going to happen in the end, because the word of God showed you, said, hey, God is going to overrule that. Amen? After no 42 months, oh, buddy, celebration time, praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? And to some of you right now, you're going through right now, and there are those with Antichrist spirits coming against you, doing things against you on your job, or even in the church. Oh, every church, everybody in every church ain't saved now. Come on. Let's be real about it. And you got some churches, they would just dump you in the water because you said you like how they building look. The building's so colorful, and you want to be a member because you like the building, you like the people, and they would throw you in the water and make you a member in a heartbeat. And you no more saved than a dog with a cat. Okay? But because you're now added to the membership role, amen? And there are things being right now in the present, and you're like, Lord. And you're remembering something that God told you, but it seemed like what's being done to you now is hindrance. But I'm here to tell you, God is going to overrule people. He's going to overrule it. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. He's going to overrule it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Lord also goes on in this first message, and he mentions three men by name. And I want to read these names. And I know some of y'all say, well, who is that? Well, I don't even know who I need. I'm not going to sit here and make up a story to you. But he said in his message, he said, there are Thomas E. Barton, Joseph H. Camp, and Alma O. Frisby. They are good men. Now, he said this in here. Now, earlier in the first message, he said that three more men will be placed in the 12. What the 12 you talking about? The quorum of 12. Remember in the scriptures, how many apostles were? The 12 apostles. Okay. Jesus set it up like he did in the days when he first set it up. So he said three more men will be placed in the 12 this spring. Okay. Now, this message came out February the 4th, 1927. And we know spring starts with March the 21st. So it was a foreword for a future thing that was going to happen. Now, he mentions these three men, but he didn't say to put them in a quorum. Now, why did he mention them? I do not know. Okay. Now, they could have been put in a quorum later. He could have been saying that, but he just mentioned these three men through the angel messenger. Now, the next thing that he talks about is humility. Humility, get this, hallelujah, will give you favor with God and man. Not pride, but humility. You said, what do you mean? Well, let me read to you what he said in this message through the angel. He said, be humble. If you want your work accepted of men and God, it will be by the spirit of humility. You will win favor with God and man, and your success is in telling the truth in humility. Now, he mentions humility three times, humble or humility three times in that verse. And you know, humility is the opposite of pride. And see, when we start learning things, it's easy to get lifted up in pride. That's why the more we learn, the more humble we must become. Okay. And sometimes you have some professing believers, when they learn certain things, they become very lifted in pride to the point where they just put folks down. Okay. You can't stand a chance. You won't stand a chance, blah, blah, blah. And even make you think like, oh, you can't get like me. You can't know like me. Uh-uh. He said that we will win favor with God and man, and your success is in telling the truth in humility. Okay? So God said humility, this is what he's saying, will win us favor with God and man. Amen. Not every man, but with man. Hallelujah. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost behind that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Well, let's look at Luke's account on that. Let's look at Luke got something to say about it. Luke agrees with that. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke agrees with that. Amen. Jesus has sent it through the angel messenger. Luke going to be the second witness. Luke chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at, and let's see, we're going to start at verse 48. When Jesus was a little boy, I think here he may have been about 12 years old, but he was still with his earthly parents. And now he's up in the synagogues and in there with the doctors in the temples, and they are astounded at the words he's speaking. The verse 48 in Luke chapter 2 said, when they saw him, and his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Because, see, they had lost track of him. The mom and daddy didn't know where he was. They lost track of him. And they said, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he, which is Jesus, said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And verse 50 said, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. So when he said that, they didn't understand what he was saying. But in verse 51, it said, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. See, Jesus followed order. That's why he's the greatest teacher of order. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Because what? His humility. His humility toward God and his humility to man. And it won him favor with God and man. Listen, everybody's not going to respect you, but you'll get many that would. If you walk in righteousness, walk in humility, people that don't even care to know God will respect you. Now, I'm not trying to get you lifted up in pride, okay? I'm just trying to show you that when people first of all see that you stand for the word of God, not in pride, but in humility, you stand for God, and you treat them with respect, okay? Because when you are in pride, you would not treat them with respect. See, I've seen some professing believers, because of what they know, they have disrespected people. And you ain't going to win nothing. In fact, you ain't going to even win a hungry dog to a garbage can, okay? You're not going to win nothing. But if in your humility, if they don't accept Jesus as Lord, if you show them some respect, you will win favor even with them. I have seen, and this is basically through the teachings of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dad, my father, that when in humility I have shown respect to people that even is not saved, I have won favor with them. Amen? Because that's what happens when you're in humility. When you walk in humility, you walk in respect to people. You respect them, whether they're saved or not. And once again, you have some professing believers, they get a little knowledge on something, become lifted in pride, and become disrespectful. And you're wondering why they won't listen to you. You know? You come up and say, man, they won't hear a word I say. Oh, really? Is that because you call them a name and treat them and try to, you know, openly show them up and all that? Is that the reason? Amen. I'm talking about walking respect in all things. Even in earthly things, in respect, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. And it will cause them to respect you, and you will find favor, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for the glory. I give God all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God is worthy to be praised. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's look at one more scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 26 talks about Samuel. Okay. And the word of God said, and the child Samuel, that's 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with man. How is this? Because of his humility. Because of his humility. If he was lifted in pride, He couldn't have that favor with God and with man. Because once again, when we become lifted in pride, it starts puts us on the arena of being disrespectful. And you're not winning no favor. If you're being disrespectful to God, you don't win no favor with God. If you're being disrespectful to man, you're not going to win no favor with man. You're in bad shape. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the living God. God bless. God bless. You're on the broadcast.
Yes.
God bless.
Yes.
God bless you, brother.
Lord bless. Hello. Yes. Keep on releasing God's word, sharing it without doing what y'all doing, man of God. And have a blessed day in the Lord from John.
Well, appreciate it, Brother John. We thank God for you. God bless you and God keep you, brother.
Okay. Likewise, for all y'all that were sharing love to others. Okay.
God bless. Once again, we thank God for Brother John. Got through this time. He connected. Amen. And blessed us today by giving a word of encouragement. And so that is the last verse in this first message today. And if the Lord say the same the next time I come on and start from the next message called the second message. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe the next time I come on, I've been working on another series that's going to be coming with. The Lord say the same. Maybe I'll be on that. I don't know. It's whatever the Lord says. But I am grateful for this opportunity to present the word of God to you today. And it's truly indeed been a blessing to be able to do such a thing in Christ Jesus. And I want to say to those who've been listening, as I have presented this first message, once again, some of you who've been listening said, you know, Brother Nate, from the time you start that first message, start talking, I sense the Holy Ghost, and I know it's true. I know that Jesus has sent this angel. Amen. And I know these are words from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say amen to that. And then there are others of you that have been listening, and you still is not quite sure. And you said, well, Brother Nate, you know, I can't say yay or nay to it. I'm not sure. I can't say it's not from the Lord. I can't say it is from the Lord. But I will make it a matter of prayer and seeking the Lord to find out if this thing is true. And I say amen to that. And then there may be others who have already clicked me off, probably from the jump start. When I got the first few words out of my mouth and when I told them that I'm reading the message from the Lord Jesus he's been sending through his angel, they probably said, oh, my goodness, no. Here comes another man. There's something wrong with him. And click me off. And I say hallelujah to that. Because once again, my job is to present the message. It's not my job to track folks down, to bug them, to ask for your address or phone number, to harass you, ask you, have you heard from the Lord? That's not my job. Jesus said my job is to give you the message, to put you to him. That's it. It's off my hands after that, okay? It's off my hands after that. After that, it's between you and the Lord. Amen? And Jesus had been sending the Elijah in this last day. He will continue to send him until the work is finished. Amen? Praise be to God. And we are grateful once again for the word of God. And so, before we close, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, once again, you have brought us to the end of the broadcast, but not the end of your word. And Lord God, we're grateful, Lord God, that you had looked upon us during this time of study and just revealed to us the way of truth. Father, I am grateful that you worded my mouth that it may bring glory and honor to your name and that it lift you up and not me. So, Lord, I have given this first message. I have planted the seed and I ask that you water and bring forth the increase in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for everyone that's listening. In the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you that has been listening to this broadcast. Don't forget, tomorrow night, the way I understand it, either going to be Brother Manny, possibly Brother Keevan. I know Brother Keevan supposed to be preparing to come on air, and he has a series that God has dealt with him about that he is looking to get into. So look for the advertisements starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Again, I thank God for all of you. This is the nation. That's where the man broadcast. May God bless you, and may he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
How many know that Jesus reigns?